morning, everybody, and as always, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out to learn early on this Sunday morning. Parshas Kedoshim, as we know, contains a lot of the basic mitzvahs in the Torah. Some of the most fundamental mitzvahs are found in the parsha. We have the mitzvah of Ahavta Re'acha Kamocha. We have the mitzvah of Lufnei Iver L'Sitei Michshol. A lot of the basic fundamental concepts of Yiddishkeit are found in Parshas Kedoshim. And on the list, another one of the fundamental ones is found here on the sheet. The basic idea, the Torah says, Losisna Tochicha V'Vavecha, you should not hate your brother in your heart. Hocheach Tochicha Samisecha, you should rebuke your friend. Losisa Olavcheit, and you should not bear due to him a sin. Now it sounds like there are a few different ideas in this pasuk, but the way the Chazal interpreted the pasuk was as follows: that if you see a person who's doing something which is out of line, and you are offended by the fact that he is acting inconsistently with the Torah, so rather than harboring resentment, rather than carrying any sort of sin against this person, the correct thing to do is you should give him rebuke. You should give him tochacha. What we would say, you should give him musar. The pasuk concludes by saying, you should not bear due to him a sin. Now, the end of the pasuk, we'll see there are several interpretations which have meaning as far as impacting on the halacha. But the pasuk itself is telling us a very basic idea, and a little bit it ties in with something we spoke about last week. Last week we discussed the idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh, that all Jews are responsible. There is a degree of responsibility that we all have one to the next. And one of the ways it manifests itself is in the fact that if you see somebody doing something wrong, you're supposed to point it out to them. Now, everybody knows that this idea is on the one hand, is a mitzvah. On the other hand, it's very difficult. It's a very, very difficult thing. Nobody is interested in hearing tochacha people. Everybody has their opinions. Most people, when they act, feel that they're doing the right thing, or they feel that they've decided to do what they think is appropriate. And to give tochacha is not necessarily the easiest thing. At the same time, there is also different viewpoints, or if you observe what goes on in the world, there are different ways that people give tochacha, ranging from a private little whisper in the ear to screaming at somebody in public in front of many people. And these are the different ways that people give tochacha. What I'd like to try to touch upon today are some ideas, or some basic concepts in tochacha, which hopefully shed light on the mitzvah, and eventually we will get to the topic of what happens if you're giving tochacha to somebody who you know will not listen. So to start off, I'd like to refer you to the Rambam. The Rambam here in the Hilchos Deis, it's on the second sheet, the first side. The Rambam says, this is Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin, Haroa Chavero Shechotah, if a person sees that his friend has sinned, or he sees that his friend is going in an improper way, meaning that sometimes it's not a specific sin, but you just see somebody that's headed in the wrong direction, right? Something which today is unfortunately not uncommon. So the Rambam said, mitzvah lahachziro l'mutav. It's a mitzvah to try to bring him back. It's a mitzvah to try to bring him back. You know, today, everybody is focused on the whole idea of Kirub Rechokin, which has become so, so popular. There's been so much successful Kirub Rechokin going on. But we forget that there's also an idea of Kirub Krovim, which means that if you have a person who's already there, but you see that this person is beginning to go off a little bit, or the person is acting improperly, so there's also an inuit of Kirub. That's also kirub. Bring the person back. Bring the person closer to the Torah. Doesn't have to be a Mechal Shabbos in order for there to be an inyan of kirub. So the Rambam says that mitzvah lachziro l'mutav u'hodio shuchote al atzmo b'maisim haroim, and to tell him that he is sinning and he's hurting himself by doing what he's doing. Shenemar ocheach tochicha tamisecha. Okay, and if we skip down a line, the Rambam proceeds to say that when it comes to giving this rebuke, Tzorech lo'chicho beino lebein atzmo. The Rambam says, first of all, the proper way to give rebuke, to give tochacha, is privately. The proper way to do it is to give it privately. And, says the Rambam, v'yidaper lo benachas, you should speak to him softly. Benachas means calmly, u'beloshen racha, and softly, not with strong words. V'yodio, and you should inform him, she'enu omer lo elo v'tobaso, that the reason why I'm saying this is for your own good. I'm saying it for your benefit. It's because I care about you that I'm saying it. U'lehavio l'chaye olam haba. I'm saying this. I'm trying to help. I'm saying it out of concern. In other words, this the Rambam tells us is the fundamental way of giving tochacha, the way of giving rebuke. If you see a person who is acting inappropriately, the way to do it, says the Rambam, number one, it should be done in private. Number two, it should be done. You should speak to the person benachas, calmly, and. The final and probably most important idea the Rambam says is that the person should get the feeling that you're saying it out of concern. You're not saying it because you have an agenda. You're not saying it because of some interest that you have, but rather you're saying it out of the concern of the person. Says the Rambam, this is the way tochacha is supposed to be given. And then he continues and says, Im kibo mimenu mutav, if the person accepts the rebuke, then very good. The imlav, and if not, yochiach pashniyah v'shlishes, then you can't give up. You have to keep trying. You have to say it a second and a third time. V'chein tamid chayiv lo'chiach, you have to, even to say it many, many times, ad she'akeo akote, until, says the Rambam, the point that the person who you're saying it to gets so fed up with you coming over to them that they're ready to hit you. They get angry. The overloini shomea. This is what the Rambam says. Now we'll see about this. If we take this as the absolute halacha, so obviously it's not. It's very demanding. In other words, you have to be ready to, as we mentioned originally. You know, nobody likes to hear it. So nobody likes to hear it. And sometimes you say it and you say, okay, didn't listen, finished. Says the Rambam that the halacha is, we'll see this in the Gemara in a minute. The Rambam says that the halacha is, you have to keep trying, you have to keep saying it until the point that the person gets fed up with you and says, I can't take this anymore, don't bother me. That type of thing. And then the Rambam concludes by saying, V'chol she'esher b'yodol limchos, v'enum amata, any person who has the ability to say something and doesn't do it. And here's the scary part, says the Rambam, who nitfas for avam? Says the Rambam, then if I could stop someone from doing something and I don't say anything, then I get blamed for what he did. It's partly my problem. Who nitfas for avam elu kulam? Why? She'ef shalol limchos mehem. Because you could have done something about it. If you could have done something about it, then you don't. So then, in such a situation, says the Rambam, that who nitfas for amon, then it's considered that I'm blamed also, it's my responsibility too. And this last din comes from one interpretation of the pasuk l'osiso l'chet, which means that you rebuke your fellow Jew, and thereby don't carry the sin. Because if you don't rebuke him, then you will carry, if it would have made a difference, if you would have said something, then it becomes your sin too. So this is the basic idea of tochacha which we have, and obviously there's a lot riding on it. In other words, a person cannot just close their eyes. It would seem from this that a person cannot just close their eyes and say, well, listen, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, I don't see what's going on. You know, there's an expression in Yiddish, machlish wissendik, you know, make it like I don't see what's happening. It seems from this that a person has to, if you see something, you can make a difference. You see somebody doing something and you could influence them for the better, you have to say something to them. This is the mitzvah of tochacha, and the Rambam says it goes to the point that you have to keep coming back. It's not enough to just say it once, even if you said it once, which is hard enough to say it one time. You said it once, it didn't work, says the Rambam, if you are the person that could make a difference, you have to say it again and again. These are the words of the Rambam. Yes. Now, obviously, this really when we size up this mitzvah, we would have to say this is one of the most difficult mitzvahs in the Torah. because no, it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult. So to that end, a little bit of a further insight in this can be seen from the Gemara in Erechin, which is on the first sheet, side B. And the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara in Erechin, and I'm sorry it was not underlined here, but if we start we'll begin two lines before the lines get wide. So says the Gemara, Minayin is the fourth word on the line, two lines before they get wide. Minayin, L'roa b'chavera davar mevuna shechayav l'ochicho, says the Gemara, how do we know you have to say something? Shenemar, hocheach tochiach. Says the Gemara, hochicho v'lochibel, if you gave Musar and the person did not accept it, Minayin sheyachzer v'yochichenu, how do we know you have to continue to do so? Talmud lomar tochiach mikom lokom. That you have to do it no matter in any situation, in other words, whatever it takes. Says the Gemara further, another halacha. Yoko, I might think, afilu mishtanin panav, that I would think that this would apply even if the person is going to be embarrassed. Talmud lomar, lo sisa olav chet. So here we have a halacha which was not in the Rambam, but this is also a very fundamental halacha, which is based on another interpretation of the pasuk. That when it says, Hocheach, Hocheach, Samizef, Lo Siso, Lo Chay, so that means you shouldn't embarrass the person, meaning that you shouldn't say it in such a way that the person gets offended. So actually, it is in the Rambam, because the Rambam said, this is the basis for the Rambam, that he says that you should speak the Lashon Raka, that you should say it softly, you should say it nicely, because to go and scream at somebody, and say, or to embarrass the person, and say, hey, what's going on over here? What are you doing? Right? Certainly in public, but even presumably in private, that type of thing, the Torah tells us is wrong, because lo siso lo chet, the Torah, according to this drush of the Chazal, the Torah is qualifying the din of tochacha. The Torah is saying that you have to give mussar, but the way you give mussar is not in a way that you will sin in the act of giving him mussar. Meaning that if it's going to be in public, in shul, and you see somebody who you have to, something that the person did which isn't right, you yell in front of 20 people, or at any other public gathering, or any other situation where the person is going to be embarrassed. So the Chazal say, this is wrong. Lo siso lo chet. That this is not the type of mussar a person is supposed to give, because to the contrary, through giving this type of tochacha, a person is sinning. Because that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to embarrass a person, even in such a context. You're not supposed to embarrass a person, but rather you're supposed to give the mussar in a way that the person will accept. Okay, now comes the Gemara and says an amazing qualifying statement. And the Gemara says as follows, Amar Rav Tarfon said the following thing. He said, Toma Ani, he said, I am truly wondering if Yesh Bedor Hazeh Shemekabel Tochacha. I truly wonder if there is anybody, there are different texts of the Gemara, but I'll just read the one that's in front of us. I truly wonder if there is anybody in our dar that could really receive tochacha properly. Now, Reb Tarfon was one of the Tanoim. He was in the same generation as Rabbi Akiva, from the Tanoim after the Churban of the Beit HaMikdash. So he says, I don't know if anybody could accept tochacha. Why? Because he says, if you will go over to a person in my generation, says Reb Tarfon, and say to him, take away the splinter that you have between your eyes, meaning a metaphor. In other words, the person has, let's say, something on his face, and you want to tell him, wipe it off or whatever. If you will tell the person, tol kisei midenei nefa, take away the splinter from between your eyes, amar lo, his response will be, tol kora midenei nefa. You're telling me that I have a splinter on my face? I have news for you. You have a whole beam of wood on your face. So don't tell me to fix this problem. You have a lot bigger problems than I do. And therefore, Reb Tarfon says, and Rashi explains, that this was because even in his generation, right, he said there were many people who sinned, right, they were not tzaddikim, and therefore, it was, says Reb Tarfon, it's very difficult. It's a very, very difficult thing because you go over to the person and you tell him, you start giving him Musar, and the person says, you're giving me Musar? You're telling me that this is what I should do? Why don't you look in the mirror, buddy? Why don't you see? And you think this is bad. What about the things that you do? Says Reb Tarfon, based on this, it's very, very difficult for Musar to get across, for any Tolkacha to get across in my generation. And then the Gemara continues, not finished yet. Says the Gemara, I'm Reb Elazar ben Azariah. So he added, Reb Elazar ben Azariah added another, also the same generation, added another point. And he said, Nihani, im yesh b'dor hazeh, sheyodea lohochiyah. He said that I wonder, I'm not convinced that there is anybody in this generation that knows how to give Tolkacha. I don't know if there's anybody that knows how to do it. What does he mean by that? So presumably, what he means by that is, right, so Rashi tells us on the side of the page, Rashi says, derech kavod, that a person who knows how to give musar, who knows how to give rebuke in a respectful way, shelo yupon of mishtanim, that he will not embarrass the person. So here we have two statements in the Chazal that impact a lot, that put a perspective on the mitzvah of Tolkacha, and potentially could, to some degree, mitigate the Tolkacha of today. And that is, number one, because of the fact we have Reb Tarfon who says that it's very difficult to give Tolkacha because everybody has their things. So you go over to a person and you say to him, you have to change this, he will be offended and immediately counter by saying, you don't tell me that, you have to change things much greater, which is an impediment to receiving Tolkacha, number one. Number two, we have the statement of Elazar ben Azariah that he's talking again, this is going way, way back here, going back to the 1800 years. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I don't think, even in my generation, that there's anybody who knows how to give Tolkacha properly. I'm not so sure. Because to say it in such a way that you're not going to offend the person, is very, very difficult. So the truth is that based on these Gemaras, there is a well-known opinion of the Chazon Ish, which I wasn't able to dig up, but it's in the Chazon Ish, in the Hilchos Shechita, the Chazon Ish in Yeridea, where he says that for this reason, when we discuss in Halacha the idea of a person, in Halacha, a person who is not observant of the mitzvahs very often is dismissed and discounted from a lot of different things, from being counted as a minion, a lot of different areas. So the Chazon Ish was of the opinion that in our generation it's not easy to dismiss anybody because of these gemaras, because of the fact that the Tolkacha, a person does something wrong, we today are very, very limited in our ability to effectively give Tolkacha because of the fact that A, by most people there are things that could be said back, and B, the fact that it's so difficult to say the right thing, to say something where the person will not be offended, to say something where the person will not get angry. So that type of Tolkacha we already mentioned is not valid Tolkacha. So based on this, the Chazon Ish had a lenient attitude towards the whole idea of, today we say there are many people that fall into the category of what's called the Tinuk Shenishpa Ben Agoyim, like a child who was brought up amongst the Goyim, meaning that such a person, you can't blame him, how is he supposed to know? He doesn't know anything. So the Chazon Ish said that a lot of people potentially could fall into this category because of the fact that even if they lived amongst people who knew the mitzvahs properly, but it's very, very difficult to transmit. But this is what the Gemara says. This is what the Gemara says, qualifying statement. Okay, and just one last thing here. The Gemara says further, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, just to give you an idea of who gets Tolkacha. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, Me'er ani alai shamayim v'aretz. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, also from the same generation, said that heaven and earth can bear witness to me. Shehar be'po'amim loka Akiva al yodai. That Akiva, my buddy Akiva, who's Akiva? Rabbi Akiva. Right? Well, many times, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, many times he got it because of me. What does it mean he got it because of me? Shehayisi kovel olav lifnei Reb Shimon Varivi, or the different opinions who this was, Reb Gamliel, that I used to go over to his Rebbe or to a rabbinic authority who he would listen to and say things about him that he should be, you know, listen, you have to tell him, you tell him this, tell him that. In other words, in the process of Rabbi Akiva becoming the great Rabbi Akiva, he also, as we see here in the Gemara, that there was also, there was tochacha that came along the way. It wasn't like, you know, that we think today a person is he's born a tzaddik. With Rabbi Akiva, we know already that it was a process. But you see over here, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that a lot of times things have to be, he has to be given mussar. So he says, but you should just know, the golshken shel safti bo ava. He said, but the reality was that it was done with a tremendous degree of ava, and it resulted in a tremendous degree of love. L'kayim mashenemar, al tochach leitz pen yisna'echa. This would be in accordance with the pasuk in Mishlei, which says, "Do not rebuke a leitz, do not rebuke a scoffer, because he may hate you." But if you give tochacha to a wise person, the wise person will appreciate it. So what the Gemara is leaving us with here is the idea that one should not just run away from tochacha and say, "What do I need this for? Well, you know, why should I even start in? Why should I even try?" So says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, at the end of the day, there was a great ava between me and Rabbi Akiva. Presumably because of the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri gave the implementation of the tochacha was done properly, and everybody understood that this was done in order to improve the person, and the person appreciated it. The person Rabbi Akiva appreciated, he grew tremendously, though. Very good. Sometimes you need somebody to point it out. Oftentimes we don't realize we're doing something wrong. So the Gemara here quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, which is a very important pasuk, which says, "Hocheach l'chacham v'yehavecha," that if you give tochacha to a wise person, then the result will be ava, the result will be love. However, with a leitz, with a person who's a scoffer, then there could be hatred. So this is the Gemara in Erechim, which is the yisod of what the Rambam says, and this put into perspective a lot of the idea of tochacha. Now, having said all this, so we know, and it's very difficult to make applications today because, you know, somebody here in Yeshiva mentioned to me when they saw the title, one of the Rebbeim, now I'm going to...
The coffee's left there, tell me privately.
Oh. Right. So somebody mentioned to me that, the topic of today's shiur, which is giving mussar to a person who you know will not listen. So somebody said maybe the question is being a Rebbe in a high school in today's day and age, right? In other words, we know, but it applies in a lot of different contexts, right? It's very difficult. It's a very, very difficult thing to give tochacha, and especially in a world where the knowledge of halacha, even though it's growing, but the knowledge of halacha, and there are a lot of things that we don't simply don't know that they're wrong. So, within the context of what we said, I would like to discuss the idea of what about in a situation where you feel that the person who you're saying it to is not going to listen. In other words, if there is a possibility that the person is going to listen, so we've seen that obviously it's a great mitzvah, and in reality, you could certainly be makarif somebody, and oftentimes it's very, very appreciated. It's very, very appreciated. Sometimes there are certain things that a person doesn't realize. We all get into our own habits, and you don't realize sometimes. And the famous statement that Choni Amagel, that he said, "O chavrusa, o misusa," that if I don't have any friends, then what is it worth to live? So the idea is that one of the ideas there is that a good friend is a person who doesn't, is not just a yes man. A good friend is a person who sometimes points out to somebody, you know, maybe this could be improved upon, or whatever. Maybe this is the type of thing that you don't realize you're doing it. So this is the, and it goes across, it could be even within a family, a husband and a wife. We have the famous interpretation of the Netziv, that we have the Pasuk in Bereishis that says that when Chava was created, so Hashem said, "I will make an Ezer Kenegdo, I will make a helpmate opposite him." An Ezer Kenegdo, so the well-known interpretation of the Chazal is that, you know, the question is asked that the two words, Ezer and Kenegdo, seem to contradict each other. A helpmate means that you're not opposite me. It means that you're helping, you're with me. So is it Ezer or is it Kenegdo? So the Chazal say that this refers to that if the person merits, if the person acts the right way and he merits the Siyata Deshmaya, then his wife will be an Ezer. But unfortunately, if not, sometimes it could be Kenegdo. But the Netziv said a very beautiful thing, which is very, very, very meaningful and very real. The Netziv said that they're both true. The Netziv said that when is a wife an Ezer? When she's Kenegdo. Meaning that for a wife to help a husband, sometimes she has to be opposite him. You have to be opposed. You have to say, it's not right what you're doing. To just simply go along out of the love and say, oh, whatever you do is terrific, it's all great by me, is not always such a good thing, because sometimes it may not be the right thing. So therefore, the Netziv said that this is the Pshat in the Torah and the Pasuk, Ezer Kenegdo, that when is the wife truly an Ezer? When she is Kenegdo. And and obviously would apply in the reverse as well. So this is the idea of Tochacha, that a great deal can be accomplished. At the same time, it's not so easy to do. And you see, even from the Gedolei HaTanoim, that they felt that they weren't able, that it wasn't so simple that people should give Tochacha. Okay, with that in mind, we come to a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Beis, on the second sheet, page B, the side B. And the sheet says, the Gemara says as follows, and again, here it's not underlined, but basically I will paraphrase in the interest of saving time. The Gemara speaks about certain halachos that you're not allowed to do, which are not so well known. So the Gemara speaks about the idea that a person on Yom Kippur is not supposed to dance. And it says that about halfway down the page, two words before the end of the line, I'm sorry, it was an underline, it says, Tnan, Ein Metapkin, Dein Mesapkin, Dein Meraktin. The Gemara says that on Yom Tov, we know there are different things on Shabbos and Yom Tov that a person is not supposed to do that create a beat, or to dance, or things like that, I'm not discussing that halacha per se, but clapping, rhythmic clapping to as if to music, is something which a person shouldn't do Shabbos and Yom Tov or dancing. So the Gemara says, Vo'idna the Chachazin and the Asan Hachi, V'lo'amina V'lo'amini. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. How could you tell me that you're not allowed to do these things? Now these things are all prohibited by the rabbis. These are all Yisurei Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, how could you tell me that you're not allowed to do these things? Look what goes on. It happens all over the place and nobody says anything. Says the Gemara counters with another thing that people do wrong, which is also nobody complains about. So if we skip down about four lines, the Gemara says, Ella, Tanach Lohem LiYisrael. Says the Gemara, leave the Jewish people alone. Mutav sheyiyu shogegin ba'al yumizidim. That the reason why we see this going on and we don't make any sort of complaint is because we say better that they should do it the shogeg, better that they should do the aveira unintentionally, ba'al yumizidim, and they shouldn't do it b'mezid, they shouldn't do it intentionally, because if you will tell them that it's wrong, they're going to do it anyway. And if they're going to do it anyway, then what they're doing has been transformed from an aveira b'shogeg. Now, this is a person that doesn't know. They don't know halacha. I never learned this halacha. So I'm doing something which is wrong, so the aveira is b'shogeg. I'm doing it unintentionally. But if somebody will tell me and I don't listen, so now the aveira has been transformed into amazing. Now I did it intentionally. I knew it was wrong and I continued to do it. Says the Gemara, so this would explain why, even though there's a prohibition to dance or a prohibition to clap or whatever it is, but yet we see people doing it and we don't say anything, because mutav sheyiyu, this is the klal, mutav sheyiyu shogegin v'alyum, is even better they should do it b'shogeg than do it b'mezid. And this opens up a new window, because until now we're going with the understanding that if somebody's doing something wrong, you have to say something. Now we find in this Gemara a new concept, which is that maybe it's better not to say anything, because of the fact that if you say something, you make the situation worse. This is the klal of mutav sheyiyu shogeg in volume, is even better they should do it b'shogeg than they should do it b'mezid. So how do we reconcile these two gemaras. When do we say the mutter, and when do we say you have to give tochacha? You know, this is reminiscent of the old joke they say about, you know, back in the day, in the early, in the 1940s or whatever, when, you know, the first generation of American rabbis were going, American trained rabbanim were going out. So it was very difficult, you know, Jews were spread all over the country, and there was a tremendous amount of ignorance. People didn't know anything. So they had a conference of young rabbanim. They all came back from their out of town posts to New York or wherever it was to give each other chizuk. So they, each one was asking the other, "How's it going by you?" So one rabbi comes in and says, "I was master my entire congregation l'mutav." That I brought, literally means I brought back my entire congregation to mutav, to the good way. So everybody was looking at him in amazement. "You brought back your whole congregation to the good way, to mutav?" He said, "Yeah. Mutav shiyu shogim v'ayum izidim. I don't teach them anything. I don't teach them any halacha. Therefore, it's all good. That's what the Gemara says. Mutav is better. It's better. I brought them to the better way. I showed them the light. I don't teach them any halachas. And therefore, whatever they do, it's b'shogim. If I would tell them, it would be b'mezid. So therefore, I brought back my entire congregation with mutav." This was, you know, the line that people used to say. So we have to understand. We have to understand. So is he right? I mean, it's not a real story, but theoretically, if somebody would have said that, right? Watch out. They're not going to, you know, in that, especially in those times. And today is different. But today, Baruch Hashem, people are more concerned about halacha all across the board. But it, you know, back in the day when you had people who just didn't care. So what would we say? So the rabbi says, you know, it's great. No shiurim. That's it. Have a good job. I'll come on Shabbos, right? I'll lead the davening. And I intentionally will not teach any classes. Because if I teach them the classes, they're going to end up doing a various b'mezid. Why should I do that? Better leave them alone. So the question is, when do we say this and when don't we say this? So, the question comes up, actually the Gemara here in Beda continues with one further thing, which is, there is a mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs which is not so well known, there's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah going into Yom Kippur to be Moses Mechol al HaKodesh. There's a mitzvah that, even though obviously we know Yom Kippur, you have all the traditions, but the question is, when does that start? So a person who, you know, goes strictly by the halacha, Yom Kippur begins with the Shkia Chachama. Yom Kippur begins when the sun goes down. That's when you have to stop. That's theoretically when you would have to stop everything. But nevertheless, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that there is a mitzvah to be Moses Mechol al HaKodesh. That there's a mitzvah you should actually add on time. In on time. And by us, really, we have the candle lighting time, which is that, certainly if a person went by that, that would be the most of Mechol HaKodesh. She started Yom Kippur early. But this is a mitzvah in the Torah. It's not just a question of you know, not taking a risk of being over and not there, but this is a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. A person who does this, the same mitzvah, by the way, applies on Friday. Right? The person has a mitzvah to be Moses Mechol HaKodesh by Shabbos, to go to stop doing malacha, or don't run it down to the wire, to stop doing malacha a few minutes in advance. So the Gemara here said that there were people, the Gemara considered the fact that there were people who didn't know this. And they would eat by, you know, going into Yom Kippur, but people are concerned, the big fast, how am I going to handle it? So people would eat all the way down to the wire. Says the Gemara again, now this pertains to a mitzvah d'oraita, says the Gemara, even here, the Gemara says that lo shna b'daraisa, lo shna b'darabanan, lo aminan lehu v'lo midi. We don't say anything. The Gemara says, don't tell them anything. Don't, if you see people who are sitting nervously, you know, by us today, where everyone shows up to the Kol Nidre, so you're getting there already ahead of the time. But it sounds like in the time of the Gemara, people, even by us, could be people sat in their houses, you know, somehow going right down to the wire, whether they're looking at their watches, or they're looking at the sun out the window, or whatever it was, you know, nervously, their last drink, their last little piece of food, and they were, it wasn't right, because of the fact that they're not keeping the Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara says, and this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, to be Moses Mechol HaKodesh Yom Kippur is a mitzvah in the Torah. Says the Gemara, don't say anything. Why? Because even when it comes, not to dance on Yom Kippur and this is the Rabbanim, but to add on to Yom Kippur is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So even a Torah mitzvah, the Gemara says, makes no difference. Mutav shiyu shogin v'ayum izidim. Don't say anything. If you see people who are doing it, let it go. because better they should, even though it's wrong, but they're not doing a mitzvah, they have a chance to do a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, let it go. Better they should do it for shogim than to do it for mezid. So obviously, we have to understand when does this apply and when does this not apply. Right? This is the big question. We have the great mitzvah of tochacha. On the other hand, we seem to have this concept that let it go, turn the other way, let it fly, because if you tell them, they're not going to do it. So we have in the Shulchan Aruch here, it's in the Hilchos Yom Kippurim, in Siman Tafresh Tet, is on the third sheet, on the first side. So in Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch brings this halakha that we were just saying, that the halakha apparently was particularly by women. It seems that in the times of the Gemara, women didn't go to shul so much, and therefore by them it was very common that they would sit and eat till the end. The men, I guess, they left early to get to shul, so it wasn't such an issue, but the women who stayed home would eat all the way till the end. So, and they did not know this mitzvah, so the Shulchan Aruch said that Nashim Shavos V'Shotos, etc. We don't say anything to them. Because they should, so that they should not come to do it intentionally. Now, what does this mean? So the Ramah gives clarity in this, and the Ramah says, "V'hu adin b'chol dvar iser amrin and mutav shiyu shogim loyu mizidim v'dafka she'eno mufarish b'torah afa pishuudu araisa." Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says that this rule applies only by something which is not explicit in the Torah. If it's explicitly mentioned in the Torah, then we don't say this rule. This is the first qualification to the rule. Why? So the Poskim explain, the Mefarshim explain, because if it's clearly stated in the Torah, so then you can't, why aren't you going to say anything? Because better they should do it for shogim than to do it for mezid. But if it's clearly stated in the Torah, the person knows. So if they know, what do you can't say they won't be for mezid. What do you mean they're not for mezid? They know you're not. In other words, I guess today, the most famous prohibition in the Torah, I would have to think, is the prohibition of eating the chazir. Right? Everybody knows Jews don't eat pigs. How does everybody know that? It's possible in the Chumash. There are many, many, many dinim that are mentioned in the Gemara that people don't know so well, right? That you had to have learned Gemara, you had to at least learn halacha, somewhere learned it. But this thing, typically for a Jew, you see a guy sitting eating a piece of pork, and you say, well, I'm not going to say anything. What if you show him value in his eating? So the Ramah says, what do you mean? He's not going to be bemazed. How is he not bemazed? He knows this is wrong. It is. It's already bemazed. He knows it's wrong. It's beforeish in the Torah. This is something which is clearly stated. If it's clearly stated, so then the Ramah says there is no such qualification. There's no such there is no such rule of mutav shiyu shogim v'alyu mizidim. And the Mishnah Brura here points out that all of this also only applies in a situation. The Mishnah Brura says in Sifkat and Hay that this rule, a second qualification, that this rule, he says on the first wide line, the kol zeh dafka kishahashav heim shogim, that this rule applies only if they're b'shogim, right? This is what we were just saying, that if they know that it's usher, then you can't do it, right? That's what we were just saying. And then, I'm sorry, that's not the one I was referring to, the previous one, in Sifkat and Dalet, the Mishnah Brura said that when do we say this rule, mutav shiyu shogim, he says, Rasulam ragam kein b'shebaru lo shelo yikabu mimenu, that the rule of mutav shiyu shogim, v'ayu mizidim, is said only if you are convinced that they will not listen. Meaning that when the Gemara says mutav shiyu shogim, that the rabbi who said that, look what I did for my congregation, I brought them all to the great madrega because I didn't teach them anything, and therefore very good, everything that they did wrong was done b'shogeg, says the Mishnah Brura that, and this is the consensus of the poskim, that that's only in a situation where you know they're not going to listen. You're convinced that the person is not going to listen. You have that. You know it's not going to make a difference. I can say it until I'm blue in the face, he's not going to listen to me. So in a situation like that, says the Mishnah Brura, that's when we say Mutav Shiyu Shogim. So it comes out there are two requirements. Requirement number one is you have to be, it has to be truly a shogeg, meaning it can't be something which is mefurish in the pasuk. If it's mefurish in the Torah, so then you presumably, we'll see about today's day, but presumably if it's something that's mefurish in the Torah, if it's clearly stated in the Torah, you can't tell me that you're not going to tell him because it's going to be a shogeg. It's not a shogeg already. It's not a shogeg. The person knows it's wrong. So they're doing it anyway. So that's requirement number one. And the second qualification is that it has to be that you know that they're not going to accept it. You're convinced, you have good reason to believe the person's not going to accept it. But if there's a possibility that the person may listen, says the Mishnah Berurah of Pshat and the Ramban, this is the consensus of all the poskim, that if there's a possibility that the person may listen, so then you do have, then we do not have this rule. Then we do not have this rule. So the way really we have to understand this, in other words, to put it into perspective, the way we would understand it is that on a private basis, you know, if it's person to person, you see somebody and you know they're not going to listen to you. You know they're not going to listen. Even a religious person, but sometimes everybody has their thing. They're just not going to listen. You can tell them it's not going to help. So in that situation, if you believe that they don't know that it's usher, that the reason why they're doing it is because they don't know that it's usher, but to such an extent that because they don't know that it's usher, they got used to doing it. And even if you will tell them that it's prohibited, they won't believe it. They won't believe it, they'll continue to do it. Then we would say, better to leave it alone. What if she shows them how you deceive them? Don't say anything. And this would be true even by a daraisa. This would be true even if it was a Torah law. Even if it was a mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's a mitzvah lo saseh or a mitzvah saseh, like the Gemara by the Tosefos Yom HaKippurim, if it's a mitzvah, but you know that the person who you're saying it to, number one, doesn't know that halacha. They don't know that halacha, so it's a shogeg. And you know that given the context, given the person, given the circumstances, if you say it, they're not going to accept it. I remember one time, years ago. So when I was learning in Kol, there was a certain shul I used to go into that for mincha. There was a certain shul. The shul did not have a rabbi, which already set the situation up for some chaos. So I remember one time I walked in there. It was about 7-8 minutes before the shkia, hoping to catch mincha. And they had a minyan, everybody's sitting around, nobody knew exactly what time mincha was supposed to begin, and they're sitting around, 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go, finally with 3 minutes to go, I was really, I wasn't a member, I was an outsider, I knew a few of the people there, so I went over to the person who was like the gabbai, and I said to him, you know, maybe we should have a mincha, it's going to be the shkia, you're supposed to have a mincha before the sunset, or chachila, we're not chassidim, you know, you should have a mincha before the shkia. So the guy looks at me and says, Shkia? Shkia is not a member in this congregation. That's it. I don't want to hear about it. Shkia? What are you telling me? So there, you have a situation. He doesn't know, right? Well, why would a person say, and it wasn't like anything was going on. They were sitting and talking small talk. They finally got up to daven mincha about a minute or two after the shkia. They could have easily davened a few minutes earlier. It wouldn't have made any difference. It would have made no difference then. Look, they had the minyan. They weren't waiting for anybody. But this is a situation. So why'd they do it? Because they didn't know. They were not sensitized to that din. They never learned that din in such a way that it made a difference to them. So that type of situation, perhaps you could say, so just let it, don't say anything. They don't, you know, if you think they'll listen, of course, it has to be barer. You have to be convinced they're not going to listen. I, in my naivete, I guess, thought that they might listen to me. But being that I was a lot younger than anyone I was talking to, so there was really no chance that they were going to listen. So in that situation, sometimes I said, just don't say anything, whatever, just let it go. Right? The mutzav shiyu shogin v'ayu mezid. If you tell them, then you're going to do it for mezid, then you're making the situation worse. However, if you're in a situation where you think that it may make a difference, so then you should say something. And certainly, if you're speaking to a group of people where there's a chance where there's a chance that somebody in the group may listen, so then also we don't say this rule. This is what the further in the Mishnah Berurah this comes out, if you learn carefully the words of the Mishnah Berurah, you'll see that if it's a situation where somebody may listen, then we don't say Mutav Shiyu Shogim Vayu Vizidim. And one further thing which is mentioned, I believe in the Sharatin or somewhere on this page, is that sometimes if you think, if you don't say something, it's going to get worse, meaning that if you don't say something, they're going to say, oh, he allowed it, so therefore it must be okay, then also you should say something. But assuming you're in a situation where you know, and it oftentimes happens, they don't know that it's usur, and you have good reason to believe that they're not going to listen to you, then we have the rule of mutav shiyushogim v'ayu nizidim. And to this end, we have a very interesting thing, a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein here in the Igros Moshe, in the second chelek of Baruch Chaim, which is on the final sheet. And that is, somebody asked him the following thing. The following debate took place. He was there. We know there's a halacha, which today has become more well known, but in the old days, nobody knew from this halacha. And that is that it went on Rosh Hashanah, when they have the Tekiah Shofar, when you blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah, so they make the person who's blowing the shofar says the brachas right away at the beginning. And then we have the Tekiah Shofar spread out over the rest of the davening. And our minhag is that we blow 100 kolos. So it's brought to the poskim that certainly for the kolos, the 30 kolos that have blown immediately, and the ones that have blown during the Chazaras Hashat, those are really me'ikar adin. In other words, even though really we know you really only need to hear 30, but if you're in shul, the Chazaras Hashat is also a very big thing, that the tekiyas during the Chazaras Hashat. So it's brought in the poskim that nobody should speak during the entire time from the brachas until the end of the tekiyas. This is what's brought in the poskim. And as I said, this is how lofty I was when I was growing up. Nobody knew this. Nobody. And it was very common, and oftentimes the rabbi would give his drasha after the tekiyah shofar, which was incredible, right? In other words, this is the way it used to be, and certainly people didn't know. And to tell people you can't talk, I mean, this is the ultimate, you know, cruelty. You tell people you can't talk to the rest of the davening. What kind of thing is that? Rosh Hashanah, Chazar Hashat takes forever, and you have to sit there silently. But this is the din. This is what's brought down. This is halacha. A person should not speak out today. I think in many, many shuls it's announced, but nevertheless, this is our love. So the question was asked to Rav Moshe Feinstein. This tshuva is from the late 1950s. Somebody asked, a rabbi asked him, should he announce it in the shul or should he just let it go? Should he announce it? Should he say, Rabosai, the halacha is that you're not supposed to speak from now until the end of the Chazaras Hashas? Or should he say, this fits perfectly the qualifications? They don't know that halacha. They're not going to listen. So mutav shiyu shogim v'ayu nizidim. This is the question that he was asked. And somebody else countered, apparently a different rabbi who had the same shaila, chimed in. He said, what do you mean? So that meant, but we're rabbis. that's part of our job, is to teach people what that halacha is. That's a big part of the job. It's supposed to teach people the correct thing to do. So you're going to tell me that I shouldn't announce in the shul? How are they ever going to know? How's it ever going to change? What's going to happen? You're going to go with the attitude that you shouldn't say anything, so they'll never learn. So what should you do? So Rav Moshe approached it the following way. And he said, it's about a little more than halfway down the first column, the first paragraph. He says, in the middle of the line, V'nira pashas, shekesheba adam wilmod, so Rav Moshe says, and this also applies very much in today's world of Kiruv, right, where you have situations where, you know, they're teaching, they're giving lectures to people, and you have, even on a one-by-one basis, and you're teaching a person, and you don't know how much is the person going to accept, or in certain situations, you feel very strongly that the person is not, they're not going to, you'll tell them they're not going to listen. You're going to tell them that halacha, they will not listen, they're not going to accept it. Says Rav Moshe, a very, very interesting, a very, very fundamental yisod in this whole topic. And that is, he makes a distinction between when you're teaching people or when a situation arises. He says, when you're teaching people, if you're giving a class or you're learning with somebody, then he says it's poshut, that you have to tell people everything kafi adin. Af b'bar shalo yekablu. even if you are convinced that the person you're saying it to will not listen, they're not gonna, this halacha I'm about to tell them, they're not going to accept it. However, says Rav Moshe, that if you're teaching the halacha, if that's the context, I'm teaching halacha. So if I'm teaching the halacha, I have to represent the Torah the right way. I cannot falsify the Torah. I cannot say, well, this halacha you don't have to do. You know, this, you cannot say, he says further here, the ain lahoro shaloka din b'shvil deshalo yikayim. He says, certainly you can't give a psak. You'll say, well, the halacha is that, you know, let's say, getting back to the Gemara's example, the halacha, you can dance on Yom Kippur. It's okay. Or you can eat right all the way up to Yom Kippur. Right? A person, he's giving a class, the rabbi is teaching a class in the shul before Yom Kippur, and he knows they're all anxious about the fast, and it comes to this halacha of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, and he says, well, you know, it's alright, you can eat all the way down to the wire. You can't do that, says Rav Moshe, because if you're teaching Torah in the context of teaching it, it has to be taught the right way. He says, however, he says that the issue here is, he says, when do we say this rule of Mutzav Sheyu Shovigin? That's only if the situation is unfolding right in front of your eyes. Meaning you're not teaching. You see a situation. In other words, something's happening right in front of your eyes. And now your question is, should I say something or not? So in that situation, says Rav Moshe, that's where the din comes in. So in other words, in response to the rabbi's question, should I tell the people that they shouldn't teach, they shouldn't speak during the Tekiah Shofar, right? They shouldn't speak during the Chazaras HaShatz and Rosh Hashanah. So presumably he would say, you have to announce it. You have to announce it because you have to tell people the right thing. How else are they going to know? You have to tell people the halacha. You can't omit a halacha. However, when it comes to a ma'aseh, to a situation that is unfolding where they didn't know, and now it's happening, and now you're going to stop somebody or attempt to stop somebody from what they're doing, so then, if it fits the qualification of number one, they truly are shogeg, they don't know that it's usur, and number two, you are convinced that if you say something, it's not going to make any difference, then we say, mutzav sheyu shogeg v'ayu mezidim. Then we would say that, let it go, don't say anything, it's not going to help. It's not going to help. This is basically the guideline. These are some of the guidelines. The halachos of Tokach, interestingly, to my knowledge, are not spelled out anywhere in one place. It's spread out over many different Gemaras. This is really probably in the Hilchos Yom Kippur, is the place where it's the most centralized. I would just leave off with one final thing which I saw in the Shavuos and Shuvah Sefer, which is the question today where you have people who have no knowledge of Yiddishkeit whatsoever. Whether it's here in Eretz Yisrael, you see people who they have no shaykes, they don't know anything, they don't know from Shabbos, they don't know, and should you go over to such a person? Should you go over to such a person and say something? So it seems that, in other words, if walking in the street, do you see here in Miami or certainly in Eretz Yisrael, you see so many people that they Shabbos and they're driving the car. They're driving a car, so should you say something or not? So, is there a chiyuv tochach in such a case? So, it seems that many, many poskim say that in such a situation, it's better not to say anything because of the fact that all the halachas that we find in the Gemara are speaking about people where there's a presence of Yerushalayim, where there's a presence of where the person cares, the person has a shayla. It's very hard to keep the whole Torah, to keep every halacha properly. So, therefore, that's the whole discussion. If you see a person who's not a lot of things, most things they do the right way, just that this they're not doing the right thing, that's when it comes up. However, they say this is a thought that in the Shas and Shuvas, what it's called, Kol Torah or something like that, a relatively modern thing, was written about 25 years ago, but it seems to be the mainstream opinion that in such a situation you have to hope that you will get these people in a setting that you can teach them Torah in such a way that they'll begin to appreciate it. But to stand and scream at a person that Shabbos, if they don't know and they don't care and they're totally removed, so then saying it isn't going to help any. If anything, it'll just create a sinner. It'll just create hatred. Now they hate you because you're screaming at them. So in such a situation, it would seem clear that the best approach would be to hope in some way you could attempt to be mekarev the person, and then would begin the mitzvah of chachavah. This is an outline of the basic mitzvah of chachev, chachev, samiseva. It's very difficult to make applications. There's so many different times where this comes up, but hopefully we have a little insight into this very important mitzvah.